So this one's pretty self-explanatory. You see the title. It's Cooper DeJean, possibly the greatest all-around football player that we've seen at Iowa since, I don't know, Niall Kinnick? We talk about it all today. His injury, his small amount of time on offense, his desires to play quarterback coming out of high school, and a whole lot more. You're going to love Coop just like we loved him on the field. Enjoy this one. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons latest episode. Cooper DeJean joins the show. Big time guest, big time player. We're happy to have him. Coop, thanks for giving your time to us tonight.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me.
We just about got into a conversation before we hit record. Your life's a little like crazy right now. You just UFC. I think you're out in California, right? Like catch us up. What's going on with Coop the last couple months?
Yeah, I've been out in California training since January. I'll be out here for another month or so still. It's been good, you know, meeting a few new guys, you know, the guys that are going through the same process that I'm going through out here, and just kind of learning their experiences that they had compared to mine, you know, at college and stuff, and, you know, getting to train with them and seeing like a sort of new style of training, I guess, you know, compared to what we did at Iowa.
A little bit different.
It's a little different out here. Yeah.
What do you guys focus on out there? What's new? What's unique to the draft training process? Cause it is a little different, right? You guys aren't going to be doing anything that puts you in any sort of harm's way. So I'd love to know what does that look like? What's a day look like for you?
Yeah. So usually I'll start the day. I'll get breakfast, then I'll do like PT right away. You know, it depends if we're on the field or not, but usually do PT and then go right into like stuff on the field, like speed work, you know, things like change of direction, different things like that. And then after that, we'll usually get lunch. And then after lunch, we'll hit our lift, and the lifts are, they're pretty intense. Like our upper body days where we bench literally every single upper body day, which is kind of fun.
What's Cooper DeJean bench right now? Are you a bencher?
I wasn't until it's gone up though since I've been here. You know, so hopefully we can.
Obviously, you guys are trying to build for that 225 test. Obviously.
Yeah. Hopefully, we can put up a good number.
What's a good number for a safety, for a corner?
Safety is, I don't know, it's probably around 15.
15,
I'd say. Yeah.
Okay.
Around there. I'm not completely sure, to be honest, but I'd say around there would probably be a good number. Hopefully.
Kevin, what was your goal when you were when we were coming out? I know you were obviously linebacker, converted to linebacker, but what would you say for a safety?
I mean, yeah, I'd say 18 is a pretty solid number, man. I was 230. I was a linebacker at the time, so I was going for Michael Jordan 23. But, now, if you're in the upper teens as a safety who's 200, 210 pounds, like, that's plenty fine. I don't think a whole lot of scouts are putting that much stock into that test anymore either.
You don't think they watch Coop's film and they're like, man, he's all right at football, but, man, if he could bench 20-plus reps. We're definitely going to draft him higher for that. It is kind of weird, though, right?
I think Searle said it when we had him on the podcast. He's like, if they can hit a certain number, that's cool. Anything beyond that, we don't really care. So, like, I think if you're above, like, 10 or 12, like, they're like, all right, he's strong enough. Don't really care about much beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah. Coop, is this all happening at, like, a facility? Like, is there, you know, some guys, I think George was, like, at Exos when he went and trained. Is it something like that?
Yeah, I'm at it's called Proactive. It's out in it's like I'm in the suburbs of like LA. So it's a pretty nice area.
And you're obviously
a little different than ODSB, BYCYI high school.
OABCIG. Yep. It's a lot different. If I'm trying to go to the airport, it's like the airport's like 20 miles away, and it takes me, depending on traffic, it'll take me close to like an hour, hour and a half. And the traffic just sucks. Just
So ass.
you're going like 15, 20 miles an hour sometimes on the freaking freeway.
Is this being out there in Cali and this training facility and all that set up by your agent?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't know about the process. They didn't come after me like they were coming after you. So I just trained in Iowa. Me and Kevin just trained in Iowa City and just drank as many Core 42s as we could. But you guys probably have all that out there too, right? Like there's probably some sort of food setup or like
Yep.
nutrition fueling station at the facility. I would have to
Yeah, so
guess.
they got a chef out here,
Ooh.
which is really nice. Yeah.
So you got a chef in the suburbs of LA and you came from a graduating class of like 42 people.
80. Yeah.
80. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
It took four towns to get to 80.
Yep.
But have you seen the clip at all of Riley when he was on the podcast saying that you went to OBGYN? All-time clip from the guy Riley Moss.
Literally every time he brings up my school, that's what he says.
It's hilarious, dude. He's
Yeah.
was he like a guy that you looked at when you came in and you're like, I think I
Yeah,
might.
absolutely. He's yeah. He when I first, transitioned to corner, he's like the guy that I watched, just to try and learn from, and the different techniques and all that stuff. And he's just off the field, he's a great guy to be around.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. When I think of you two, and I don't know you, obviously, I know Riley a little bit because he was friends with my brother, but slightly different personalities on you two, I think.
Yeah, quite opposites, probably, in that aspect. Yeah.
But damn, play a little bit similar. You both can fly, and when that funny tweet came out, I don't know how many months ago about the all white versus all black team. I
Yeah.
mean, did University of Iowa, man, we are supplying the corners to the
We are.
for this all-star battle whenever it happens.
Yep, we are.
I'm sure that when you get to the combine, when is that, by the way?
This next week, so I'll leave next
Oh
Monday.
shoot. Oh wow. I'm sure when you get there, the interview process, that's, I think what most people don't understand is the interviews and the sit downs with teams that you guys do. It's not just like the 45 minutes that they see on the field on TV. When they ask you questions like, hey, and you're going to get it, and I'm sure you've been prepping for it, like, so Coop, we'd like you to play corner. Are you okay with that? And you're just going to be like, yeah, I'll play whatever you need me to play, right? Stock answer. But like,
Exactly.
would you, is there a preference? Did you like safety at Iowa more than corner? What was your feelings on that?
Yeah, so I mean, I never played safety in a game, so I really wouldn't know what that's like.
Yeah, I
But
guess.
I
Yeah.
did played in practice. It's a little bit different, but it's also in our defense, it's most of it's like the same, because we're like matching guys, playing man to man. I really have no preference, but corner, it's been fun, to play that and just being up close to the line, getting
Pressure.
involved in the action. Yeah.
I mean,
When I was playing the cash position, I loved that. That was a lot of fun. A lot of times that year when I was playing the cash, I'd be in the box, so it was,
yeah, you're putting the armor on, getting ready
you're
to,
right. Yeah, you're right in there.
bro. Was that intimidating at first when you stepped into that position? Because I mean, you're not. I forget what was the safety's name for for the Seahawks. He was like 6'4", 235. He was unbelievably big. Like, you don't have that kind of body, right? So, you got fullbacks pulling linemen potentially in the box. What was that like when you stepped into that role in practice? Was there any like welcome to the Big Ten moments, like early on in your career when somebody?
It was definitely different. It really didn't happen a lot in practice where I'd have to be in the box, to be honest.
Sure.
But you kind of learn a little bit on the fly. You gotta see those big guys. You gotta use a little finesse, to keep them off of you. Because if they get a hold of you, you're probably gonna go for a ride, at 205 pounds. But you got. I looked to the left of me. I got Jack Campbell, sitting right there. So, that's always a confidence booster. And he kind of helped me through that learning period, learning process, playing in the box and the different gaps that I had to be in and that sort of stuff.
Talk to me about Jack. What's it like having him in the core of your defense? Like, is that just the ultimate confidence boost? Like, you just,
Oh yeah.
like, what's
Yeah,
that? What
yeah.
is that?
You got, I mean, it's, you know, he's, I mean, the best, one, probably the best player I've played with, so far. Just knowing that you got a guy in the middle of your defense who probably already knows where the ball is going before it's even snapped. He's getting everybody lined up, so we're in the best position, to stop whatever play they're running. But you just see the amount of work he puts in, not even like you watch him practice, like that's a whole nother thing. Like he plays it like it's a game.
I was gonna say, Grant, I forget who said it. Kevin, maybe you can remind me. Someone came in and was like Jack Campbell is just, he's 100% all the time. Like if you come to practice and you watch Jack, it's like it's 11:30 a.m. on a Kinnick Saturday, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
No, you literally wouldn't. He's flying around. We're not supposed to tackle, but sometimes it happens. With when you're going full speed like that in practice.
Get a little from the background, KF. Keep them up. Keep them up.
Yeah. Luckily, he was on the other field, so we didn't get too many of those, which was good. But even off the field, Jack is like he was always in the film room, studying the opponent, whether we're playing against our offense in fall camp, spring ball, or it's a week during the season,
So his success in Detroit, not a surprise to you.
not at all. No, he's only going to keep getting better, I
Yeah.
think.
Yeah, he's a stud. How about him? So the first thing I ever heard about Jack was about his conditioning and like how he's just, and I know that would probably wasn't a problem for you either, but like as a bigger guy, I think Jack's like 6'5", right? Like pushes 250
Yeah.
and he can just run like a deer, huh?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you watch him run those 55s. He's just flying.
Did they ever put him with the skill?
I think
They used to do that
so.
sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he did it my first year, but my sophomore year, he was running with the skill guys, yeah. And
Wow.
he was right there with us.
Speaking
Yeah.
of Detroit, Laporta, obviously practiced against him a couple times. Give me a guy in practice who was like offensively, it had to be Sam or somebody like that, who was like, yeah, this guy's good. Like you go, you those late practice team periods where you're ones on ones. Who is the guy who's like, yeah, we gotta make sure this guy doesn't make us look bad today.
Yeah, I mean, Sam, like you said, but all our tight ends, Eric All last year.
Wish we would have got to see what he was capable
I
of, man.
know. Yeah. But Luke also, there's big guys who move really well, and they got great hands. They catch anything around them, really.
Cool. So let's take it back a quick second. I am curious if like let's say 12-year-old Cooper DeJean, like what would 12-year-old Coop think of where you are at right now in your life? You just completed your college career. You're in LA. like you're training with, your projected first round pick. Is this crazy to you? Like truly. Like have you gotten a chance to like sit there like and realize how sort of wild this is, especially for a kid who is from
Yeah, I mean,
OBGYN high school?
I really, because you're always doing something to try and take that next step,
Yeah.
as an athlete. So you rarely get those opportunities to like sit back and really really think about it. But every once in a while you'll catch a little glimpse and like you'll just look around and like look where I'm at. I never. As a little kid, I never would have thought this was possible. Coming from a town of 900 people in the middle of nowhere in Iowa. Yeah, I would have thought you were crazy as a little kid. But it's definitely cool to have those moments where you just take a look around and realize how far you've come, but also realize how much more there is that you can do.
I know. I can tell that I don't have the luxury anymore, right? I'm just 29-year-old kid crapped her pants like 20 minutes ago before we hopped on here. I have nothing to worry about. I don't have that mentality anymore. I mean, we're washed, right? Name of the show. But it's so fun to talk to you guys because I can feel that like there's a little bit of like this anxiety that comes with it because you're always locked in,
Oh
right?
yeah.
Like you're just for the last 4 years, I know exactly what you guys are like. It's just foot on the gas 100% of the time.
Yep.
And it's a grind, dude. And you're not that the draft is the end of the road, but it's a huge milestone, obviously. And it's a big it becomes a job, obviously, which is financially helpful when trying to live your life. Were there ever any moments like that in Kinnick, like the first time you got in the game, or like did you look up in the stands and was that a moment where you're able to take it in quickly? I mean, I know it's tough. First
Yeah.
swarm maybe or something like that.
Yeah. My first 2 years that never really happened.
I guess it was co I mean, you guys had COVID and stuff to deal with, so there was no fans the 1 year.
Well, I was here. My freshman year was the first year, the year after they let fans back.
Dude, you came in 21.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. I thought you were here during the COVID year.
Yeah,
Oh,
no.
so you're lucky you didn't have to deal with
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, no. But my first swarm
Are you
was
sure you don't want to take the extra year? You're positive? I think you're past. I think it's illegal at this point. You've signed with an agent.
it's probably illegal. I
Yeah.
don't think there's
We'll talk about that in a second.
it's no rules anymore anyway. It'll be fine. True.
but my first swarm was definitely crazy. Especially growing up in Iowa and coming to games as a kid. You kind of just look around and like you're almost in shock. You don't even know what to think.
Feels like a movie.
Yeah, exactly. But definitely this past year, when I was playing, I had I don't know why it was only this year, but I had those there's a few moments where you just sit and look around and think about how far you came. During the game, you see all these fans around you, watching the game. Our bench is right next to the stand, so you hear fans screaming at you. And just to realize that you were up there in those stands watching, and now you're on the field playing.
It's
It's
crazy.
crazy. Yeah.
Always a Hawkeye fan from when you
Oh
were little?
yeah.
Always.
Yep. I went to football games, basketball games. My
Well,
mom showed me a picture of a. I was at a baseball camp at Iowa. I was a
really?
huge, huge Iowa fan. Yeah,
Baseball season getting started. Brody Brecht got the
Brody
dub.
P. Yep.
Could you hit Cooper DeJean steps in the box. Brody's throwing gas. Who comes out alive there? Do you make contact?
I might make contact,
I believe that.
but. I don't know if it'd go in the field of play.
I think he there was at 13 potential outs the other day, and I think he struck out 11. So that's decent.
It is decent. But Yeah, I might be scared to step in the box
Oh
to,
yeah.
you know,
I don't think
hundred
it's
and
smart. I don't think it's smart.
yeah, no, 100 and however many miles an hour coming right at you, then you got a 90 whatever mile an hour slider that just slides off the face of the earth, you know?
Jeez. Hawkeye fan your whole life. Was football always the goal? Because, All-Star weekend basketball, the clips going around of the Cooper DeJean dunk highlight tape, absolutely absurd. Guy jumps out of the gym, bunnies like a field, like a field in the meadow, and there's just rabbits hopping all over. You probably could have probably had a little bit of a future in basketball if you really wanted to.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, growing up and, you know, throughout middle school and beginning of high school, that's what I thought I was gonna do,
Was
is
that was the thought?
play basketball, yeah. But, you know, I was playing all types of AAU tournaments all over the country, you know, going to different camps and stuff. But, you know, basketball recruiting is a little bit different than football, I think. But I had a few interests from Division II in basketball. But, you know, after my sophomore season and then into my junior season, you know, the football recruiting started to pick up. And, you know, you kind of start to realize that that's probably the right path to go. You know, because I love playing both of them. I just thought I was going to play basketball, but you know, the football path has worked out so far.
Between sophomore junior year was when the recruiting picked up.
Yeah.
Who was like legit? How many legitimate like D1 came around even through senior year? And what did that look like? Like who was first? Who kind of came crawling first call of the office? Hey, Cooper DeJean, come down to the
I want to say it was the first school to come to my, well, it was during COVID, so there was, I think USD was probably the first one I remember come to my school.
USC?
USD, South
I
Dakota.
was like, what? The
Yeah, no.
Trojan showed up at OAC BIG?
No, but
OABCIG?
that was probably the first school I remember talking to. You know, I talked to a bunch of USD, NDSU, South Dakota State,
Oh,
Illinois
yeah.
State, UNI, those guys. And then, you know, those guys didn't offer me. You know, I went on a couple visits, but then I went on a junior day visit to Iowa after my junior year, and Iowa was my first offer.
Really? Iowa was the first offer.
Yeah. Yep.
Sheesh, these schools are.
Yeah.
Was it stressful for you? Did you start to feel that stress? Maybe you didn't, but like, I don't know. As a kid, you get closer to that senior year. If sports are the goal, you're like, man, I really like an opportunity somewhere. I need just one foot in the door. Somebody give me something. Was
Yeah.
that did it start to get stressful, or was it further enough for? Far enough out from senior year where you were like, ah, it'll work out, like something will come.
Yeah, I feel like it was. There was probably a little bit of stress. Like there was definitely times that I had thought about, you know, like, am I going to get an opportunity to play somewhere? Is it, you know, is anybody going to offer me? Am I going to walk on? You know, things like that. But you know, luckily, you know, after my junior season, Iowa offered me on my junior day visit. It was my first ever offer. Took a couple other visits, I think, to NDSU, US or SDSU, those two schools. 2 months later, I was committed to Iowa.
Iowa State never said a word.
Yeah, I went on a couple visits to Iowa State, but you know, when I was there, I mean, I went on two visits there and talked to the recruiting guy. One time on one of them, the other one, no one talked to me. I was kind of just thinking.
Joe Evans came on the show and said that Campbell came to his school, told him to his face, "Hey, I know you've wanted to be a Cyclone your whole life."
I mean,
Really?
that's what Joe said. Campbell told that to Joe Evans. He put the words in Joe's mouth. How disrespectful is that?
I think Joe has actually told me that story. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah.
Immediate commitment to the Hawks after that one. Like, that is just bad taste in the mouth.
Yeah, you
Two
know,
2 months later, you're a Hawk after that.
It was and you know, the week before my junior Davis, I was at a at Iowa. I was or it might have been the day before. I was at Iowa. I was at Nebraska the day before Iowa. And I was just there. I didn't get an offer, and then Iowa offered me. It was kind of like a dream come true, you know, because that's like the place that I've always wanted to play.
Grant, mark this down. Me and Cooper have one thing in common. Nebraska didn't offer either of us.
Done. Yeah.
Okay. Kev, are you going to pipe in there with a question?
Yeah, how did Iowa offer you? Did KF pull you into the office? How did that go down?
Yeah, so I was scheduled for the junior day visit. I got a text from Tyler Barnes, you know, saying, you know, can you get in here a little early? You know, Coach Ferentz wants to meet with you and your family in his office, you know, before the visit. So I was like, oh shit. Is this gonna happen
Because
or
there's no way at that point you can be in trouble, right? So it's only good things.
that's exactly right. And I was, you know, I sat in his office, me and my family were just talking for a little bit, you know. I was kind of I was a nervous little junior in high school. I didn't you know, I was talking to Coach Ferentz, who has coached a team that I cheered for my whole entire life. So it was crazy. You know, and then I think he said something, you know, we like your film, you know, we like that you play all different types of sports and how athletic or whatever like that. And so we're gonna offer you a scholarship to play at the University of Iowa. And I was like, I kind of had a little smirk on my face. I didn't even know what to say. You
It's a
know?
little bit of a surreal moment. You're like, wait a
Yeah.
second. Are you sh like, is this real? Are you sure?
I was kind of in shock. I was like, wow.
Did you
I think
look at your did
yeah.
go for it, Kev?
I was gonna say, did they have any idea what position they were gonna play you at, or did they kind of talk about that through your recruiting at all, or is like, because I remember talking to I think it was Coach Woods at one point where they actually were asking about you, and we're like, what position are you gonna play? Coach Woods replied, man, any position that he wants. So I'm curious what the communication was between y'all, kind of. After you're offered through your recruitment and then all the way through when you start seeing the field.
Yeah, so there wasn't really much talk, you know, while I was getting recruited before I got my offer, you know, what position I'd play. You know, I think that they might have said a couple times that, you know, we see you on the defensive side. You know, but after I got my offer, those 2 months before I committed, you know, I really wanted to play quarterback in college, and I had and that's what I want to do. But then, you know, I don't know, something just hit me, and I was like, you know, why wouldn't I want to go play for my dream school, play for the best defensive coordinator in the country, who's put a bunch of guys in the NFL, you know, and play in his, you know, defensive backfield. And then I was like, I mean, I feel like this is, you know, my best opportunity to, you know, one, fulfill my dream of putting on the black and gold, and then, you know, having put myself in a position to be where I'm at now, and, you know, try and play at the highest level.
You did make a few hearts flutter there, though, when you said, well, I wanted to play quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, who knows if you come in and you're a quarterback? Like, Coop could have been running around. We just would have, you know, just Brian implements the Wildcat
Well,
offense.
I mean, we did take a couple snaps at quarterback. What would that feel like, man? Or no, you were at wide receiver, weren't
Yeah,
you?
receiver. Yeah, it
Yeah,
was a lot of fun.
we gotta
It was a
address
lot.
the elephant in the room on that one, dude.
It
I
was
mean,
a lot of fun. Yeah. You know, being on that side of the ball, being able to touch the ball again, you know, obviously I'd do it during punt returns, but, you know, just it was I mean, It was a little different, being on that side of the ball again after you haven't done it for 2 years.
Tell you what, you looked fine, you know. Don't, you don't have to give up the secrets, but I'm gonna ask because it's what I do. I like to tell people that we are the noise now. Offensive struggles, pretty documented, right? We've had some, we've talked about it, beat it to death on this show. It's been beat to death everywhere. People are like, hey, let's get the playmakers the ball, right? We got a playmaker over there on defense. Coupe DeJean seems to do pretty well with the ball in his hands on punt return. There's some clips rolling around of him dodging 48 dudes in a state championship game in high school. Unbelievable, first of all. You made it. I've never seen you. I mean, you had to feel like Thor after that one. Throughout all of that, did you ever mention before you actually took those few snaps in the game, did you ever mention to the coaching staff or like anyone, you're like, hey, I'm willing to play. Like, can I play some O? Can you put me on the offensive side of the ball? Or was it more of a like you were just, I'll let the coaches make all the decisions? Like, what did that look like?
So it was more, when it started, it was more like joke. We'd like just joke around, and talk about it. But I didn't really a I didn't ask to be on the offensive side. I didn't want to, step on anyone's toes,
Sure.
So I kind of just let them handle that. It was, I don't know what week it was, but it might have been that Northwestern week. I was coming into the Monday morning meetings, position meetings, and Coach Parker goes, "You need to go meet with, Brian in his office." And I was like, "Oh shit, this is gonna happen."
You're like, all right, let me get the shoulder ready. I'm playing quarterback, baby.
Let's go. Let's do it. So that was, and I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun being on that side of the ball again.
Felt that electricity again.
So I mean, I guess we can kind of talk about it now. I mean, you're no longer on the roster. The playbook's getting kind of scrapped. Did they have a handful of plays set for you other than the couple that we saw you in there?
Yeah, there was I want to say that first week there wasn't there was probably four plays
Yeah.
in there. And then just I think every week there was just more and more.
Was the plan to get dynamic and tricky with it? Maybe have you throw it around, maybe get, a little RPO option. Like, was there any of that, or was it more just you in motion trying to get the ball in your hands and let you do something with it?
There was, I mean, I don't know if I should, but
Liar. Cooper, you're lying. You were
there
going to throw
was
balls all over the place, weren't you? God damn it.
there was we did have one play.
That's what Oh, God. I'd do anything to rewind
Brother,
time.
the entirety of Hawkeye Nation would have had to change their underwear if they saw you throw a pass.
Fully tented across all of Kinnick Stadium. It's just, I mean, you get it, Coop. Like, you're a dynamic player, you're an athlete. And it's just like, as fans who sit there on the bench and just eat Cheetos, it's like, man, wouldn't it be fun to just like open up the playbook like this is Madden and just run triple fakes, like throwing it back, throwbacks, flea flickers? So I'm sure you felt some of that. It was fun, man. I mean, you with the ball in your hands, obviously an electric time, highlighted by your punt returns. And we can talk about that. Obviously, the NFL is going to be, they're going to be pretty excited to at least have you as an option as a returner as well as on defense. And I assume that you are looking to do that in the NFL as well, I'd have to imagine. Can we talk about the Minnesota one? How do you still wake up with a fire in your belly because of that? Because I would. I saw your face on the screen. We all saw it. You were absolutely flabbergasted.
walk me through the emotions of that play. I think you're still processing it,
It
maybe.
was yeah, it was wild, I guess. The ball, I think they were trying to keep it away from me because they kicked it. I was lined up on the right hash, I think, and they kicked it
Their right
to
hash,
my
yeah,
left.
they, yeah.
My left. Like towards the sideline. So maybe it'd roll out of bounds or something like that.
Smart.
But I'm running over there and obviously I'm not gonna catch it, so I'm pointing at the ball. And usually when you're running, your arms will move back and forth. But yeah, I didn't really think I was gonna have a chance to return. I thought I was just gonna bounce right out of bounds. I almost got like the perfect hop right along the sideline,
Yep.
just right to me. And long snapper was the first one there.
No chance.
Kind of spun out of that one. Then there was just a bunch of guys, and I saw a little crease up the sideline. And like after I got past those however many guys it was like,
Six or seven of them.
holy shit, did that just happen? And then I was like, how can I get to the end zone? And so I cut it back across field. Had to make a guy miss, and then that was probably the wildest I've heard.
Yeah.
Kinnick Stadium, it was, I mean, it was
I
crazy.
mean, I was in the stands that day, and everyone around is just like, "Holy fucking shit, he did it again. We fucking found a way to win another game. This guy is the fucking king, elect the mayor of Iowa City right now." And it was definitely top three craziest Kinnick spin in my experience. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy experiences I had in Kinnick, but the place was just going absolutely nuts. People were like crying in the stands because we thought we were gonna lose the game, and then somehow we were like, "Holy shit, we won the game again!
Pregnant
We did it
couples in the
again." We had no
stands
idea.
choosing Cooper as the name of their baby. They're like, "We're naming it Cooper. We're naming it Cooper." Did you feel like,
What is your thought when going through your head when they announced they're reviewing it?
I mean, I'd assume they would because I didn't know if I had stepped out of bounds or not.
Right, that's what everybody thought.
So I assume that's why they were reviewing it, and I think it was.
It was. Dude,
But
I'm gonna calm down. I'm gonna get heated here.
and then as soon as I saw it up on the big screen that I didn't step out of bounds, I was like, okay, it's a touchdown, and we're gonna have to go back out on defense, and get a stop. But then, like before they even announced it, Coach Woods comes over and he like, it's like and looking at me like he's shocked. I was like, he asked me if I like, did you call fair catch? I was like, no, I was just pointing at the ball. And then, he told me that they called it a fair catch. I was just in disbelief, I didn't even know what to think. 'Cause,
Did you
you have
guys
the
ever get any? Oh, sorry, go ahead, Ben.
you have those like you have those meetings with the refs, before the game, and they always tell you to, don't cross your arms like this. We're gonna blow it dead, above your head.
But, and this may have changed since we were there, we're old, 29, but obviously we were both involved on punt. And when we were there, they allowed you to point. You
Yeah,
could point.
no, you're allowed to point, yeah.
Yes.
But you just can't like cross your arms like you're,
Correct. Correct. But you can point at it, and so that you can, I believe the rule is so that you can, for any teammates that are turned looking at you, they can see you pointing at where the ball is. That is the rule.
exactly.
And that's what you were doing with your right arm, and your left arm, which was kind of your trailing arm, was like the arm that was used as a counterbalance. And it was only moving because you were running.
Like these 58-year-old refs don't know what the body does when you run with your arms straight. My God, dude. Oh, your face and the collective disbelief of the stadium is like it's one of the most. It's got to be the biggest contrast of moments in all of potentially the history of football. I swear.
Yeah,
probably not, but definitely in recent Hawkeye history, dude. It was unbelievable. I mean, when you get past that initial group of guys, you see open field. When Cooper DeJean sees open field, it's ball game. Game over. You find the end zone. Is that the biggest, like, I am him moment of your life? Like, you had to be feeling pretty sweet at that point.
Yeah. I definitely had chills running through my body. Yeah. For a moment there, and then you realize, like, we still got to go back out there and get a stop.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of where my head went after I had celebrated, you know, a little bit with everybody on the return team. But yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah. Got one to go though. Michigan State was a big one.
Obviously, what happened, and, you know, the refs had to fly out of a different airport for their own safety. What was the feeling in the locker room after that Minnesota game?
It was quiet. I mean, I think everybody was in disbelief. And I don't know if I should say this, but even Coach Ferentz said something about it, you know, in the post game like speech. Which was like,
I think he's talked about it publicly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he said it with Dolph one week after that. He was like, well, it should be. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't quiet about it either, really.
Yeah. No, which usually doesn't, you know, doesn't happen. You know, usually, you know, he just comes in, you know, obviously we didn't play our, but like good enough to win today, you know, give them all the credit, you know. They played well enough to win, and you just, you know, move on. But yeah, it was wild.
That is crazy. You had a big decision to make. Come back for another year.
Yep.
Wear the black and gold again. You got hurt. Forgot to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
You got hurt. That sucks, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, not only, so the feeling you had with that touchdown that was stolen from you, I'm sure you felt again with your injury, like those last three, four games were stolen from you. And like, we felt that as fans too, dude, like watching you play football is one of the coolest things ever. And man, it felt like we were just robbed of a few more games of Cooper DeJean. Cause we all knew there was a chance that you were going to be going to the league.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure at that point you hadn't made any sort of decision yet. Like you said, eyes forward, focused, next thing on the schedule. How soon did the decision start to come into play? Was it until after the regular, after the Big Ten championship? Did you wait and push that off? Or once you got injured and it was clear that you weren't going to be coming back, did you start thinking about it then?
Yeah, I definitely thought about it a little bit, you know, but I didn't really meet with Coach Ferentz or Coach Parker or anybody until, like, I didn't meet with Coach Ferentz until, like, during bowl prep.
Yeah.
To like really talk about it and address it, and then down at the, because it was, I mean, probably the toughest decision I've had to make my life. You know, you live out your dream of playing for the University of Iowa, and then, you know, you have this opportunity to live out another dream that you've. You know, to play at the highest level, it was definitely tough. I had a meeting with Coach Parker, and like me and him are pretty close, and I was literally in there, emotional, like talking to him about it, like on what I should do.
Some Cooper and tears kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it was tough. You know, I talked to my parents a lot about it, and then ultimately made the decision. But it was, It was pretty hard on me, you know,
Yeah.
through that whole process, especially after getting hurt and, you know, not getting to play, finish the season.
Was that a big part of it? Was did that feel like, man, like I feel like I didn't go out on my own terms?
Yeah, I think that would, like, that's what made it even harder, is that I didn't get to finish out that season.
Yeah.
And especially after everything, you know, you go through with those guys, especially last season, you know, all the outside noise, you know, people who kind of maybe gave up on us a little bit during the middle of the season. You know, and you're just battling every Saturday, you know, with those guys. And, you know, so it makes it definitely makes it tough, you know, missing those last four games and having that decision to make.
Yeah, because it's not. I think sometimes this is what, you know, outsiders might forget when they're just analyzing the decision from their couch or whatever. It's like, it's not just as simple as do you get to come back and play college football or do you go and play in the pros? It's like that special relationship with Coach Parker that you talked about, the special relationships with your teammates, with Coach Ferentz, like, you give up a year of that. And it's and that's really that's that is what the player feels, right? That's what you feel. That's what's hard for you.
Like, yeah.
Because there's probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there I've this is how other people have described it. It feels like you're leaving something on the table there. You're like abandoning your brothers.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
exactly. You know,
that's
like in the NFL, you know, guys could be like, there could be guys on your team for 1 year and then they're gone, you know. And you in college, you come in with a recruiting class, you know, most of the guys, you know, stay 4 or 5 years. You build those relationships, you know, with them, with the coaches, with the guys that are already there. You know, and you're all really close. You're all doing stuff together outside of football, you know, hanging out, you know,
it's not just
doing
a job, you're living
whatever.
life. Like it's,
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, those are literally your best friends, you know, not just your teammates. Yeah.
Was the injury process obviously probably had something to do with it. Like how soon can I get back? And I don't know how much weight on your decision, like, am I gonna be able to do the combine? Am I gonna be able to do pro day? Obviously, you're in line to do those things, right? Like full participation.
Yeah, I'm cleared to run and stuff.
We've seen you run a lot. I think people know you're fast.
Yeah.
I can just tell them you're gonna, it's 4.35. We'll just give you 4.35.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
I ran 4.92, by the way. Pretty fast.
192.
Yeah, four.
What'd you weigh?
A 2.43
Okay.
at
Yeah.
5.10.
Yeah, that's
So I looked like a Lego. And I ran a 4.92. So I see it in your eyes. You're very impressed. Did you go through the, what do they call it? Like the draft advisory committee thing? Were they?
I didn't, no.
No, you didn't.
No,
Okay.
no.
I know some guys weigh that into their decision. If, you know, like what I think they give you back like a grade.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of, I mean, I'm not a mock draft guy. I don't do all this NFL mock draft, but every mock draft that I see come out, Cooper DeJean's in the first round, man. I'll tell you what, this guy can play some football. Is that, have you thought about that moment at all? Like a potential first round draft pick in the NFL. I mean, that's like something you set up in your living room when you're 7 years old and the draft comes on and you like put your favorite jersey on and you go out there and act like, I mean, dude, that's gonna be you, man.
That's
It's so sick.
it's yeah, I've thought about, you know, the draft a little bit. You know, there's like videos that I've seen, like, of guys getting drafted, and those are like really, really cool to me, really cool to see, and just the emotion that that runs through, you know, when that time comes. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Should be fun. Yeah.
Are you over the
Are
process
you
of
gonna?
go for it, Kev?
Are you? I was gonna say, are you gonna go, or are you gonna be taking the call from home that day?
Yeah, I'm probably just gonna stay at home.
Hell yeah.
You know, spend that time with my family and friends, you know, so I can have as many people around me as I'd want.
The it's there, yeah, that's just such a cool experience. It's crazy. Was there a lot of did you have to deal with like a lot of agents in your DMs? Like as the season winded down, you were during bull prep, like everybody contacting you, like was that annoying?
Well, now with NIL, you kind of,
Oh, they can blur the
I mean,
lines, huh?
you can get like you can have NIL agents,
Oh,
like
true.
so like even after my sophomore, like during my sophomore year, after my sophomore year and my junior year, you know, usually it's on Instagram, you know, you just get a bunch of DMs from a bunch of different people, which is kind of crazy, and you kind of have to, you know, pick out, you know, what who you're gonna respond to,
That's
and
like a second job to go through all the
you know,
DMs you get, I'm sure. I mean, that's just.
I mean, luckily I had my dad to help me with all of that, and
That's nice.
he kind of took most of the heat for me, which was nice to have.
It's a good dad.
Yeah.
Did you also have to filter through all the lovely women of Iowa City in your Instagram DMs or what?
No, he didn't do that. No.
He left those ones
I
for Coop.
kind of I kind of yeah, I kind of just he didn't have access to my Instagram. I kind of just screenshotted the message, sent it to him. You know, so yeah, no.
I could just imagine Coop's dad going through his Instagram messages. Oh God, the un oh Jesus. I'm not gonna say but I could say some funny stuff. That would be just absurd. How many days a week are you training right now out there in California? Is it 5 days a week?
6 days a week.
Six?
Yeah. With two of them are recovery, like more recovery days, so they're more relaxed.
They got you guys set up with like spa, cold tub, saunas, all that stuff.
Yep. We usually do some hot yoga, got the cold tubs,
Yeah.
you know, a bunch of different recovery stuff, which is really nice.
Love it.
Yeah.
Are you over it yet, or do you enjoy it?
I enjoy it right now, but you kind of you know, as it's all starting to happen, you know, the combine and stuff, you kind of just want it to be over, and you know,
Yeah.
being know like know where you're going and all that stuff, but you know, I'm trying to enjoy this whole process, you know,
Yeah.
and meeting a bunch of new people, so it's been
Cool.
fun.
That's cool. Enjoy it, man. I mean, it only happens once. After this, you kind of, I mean, it's a business, but you'll get to focus on football more
Yeah.
in like 3 months. Gonna do Pro Day in Iowa City.
Yep.
Dope.
Absolutely. Yep.
Honestly, I should come and just watch. I haven't been back in a while. I'd be sick.
Sure, give me your best Phil Parker impersonation.
Person. Yeah, I don't think I can. Probably wouldn't be good for the ears if I did an impersonation
Yeah, kids. Yeah, it's not kid friendly.
of Coach Parker, but he's very, very
Passionate.
passionate guy. About the game of football, and about, you know, playing the game the right way, and but he's a lot of fun to play for. Yeah, for sure.
What's one thing you're gonna take from his coaching during your college career with you to the NFL?
I mean, just to continue to have that work ethic, you know, no matter where you're at, whether you're a starter, on his defense, or you're a young freshman, you know, trying to find his footing in the defense. Just continue to put that work in, and you know, strive for perfection. That was one of his biggest things, you know, striving for perfection. Perfection is, can it's almost impossible to be obtained. But that's always what you're trying to go for. Whenever you step foot on the field in practice or even in a game, taking all the right steps, make sure you're taking the right leverage, different techniques you can use, film study, things like that.
Grant.
Awesome, man. I thoroughly enjoyed my time with Coach Parker, and seems like his spirit's not losing any of his potency as he's getting older.
Yeah. From what I've heard, he's calmed down a little bit, is what some of the guys have told me. But I don't
Oh, he's definitely not the Phil Parker 10 years ago as far as.
Yeah.
Like willing to like just cuss guys out. I mean, he's still more than willing, but man, it was pretty bad back in the day.
Yeah,
But
it was a TV show.
no, his passion for the game definitely is not diminished in the slightest. But I feel like he's been a little bit more reserved in some of his comments that he's given. Yeah, he's just been a little bit looser with his guys than he was back in the past. I saw it change during my 5-year career, and talking to Tanner Miller about he was a senior my freshman year. He's like, oh, he was so much worse like our freshman year. It's like, but no, I think
Tanner's married to his daughter, no?
they're engaged. Yeah, I
Get
think they're engaged
engaged.
this year.
Yeah. Yeah, Tanner, yeah, he
Yeah,
was.
Tanner's got some big old cojones on him. I'll tell you
Yeah,
what.
That's nuts.
That is wild.
Coach
But no,
Parker is
I
getting
think
soft confirmed.
no, I think people who understand Phil and understand his passion for the game just respect the way that he coaches. He just loves the game so much, and he gets upset when he can't get you to the level of play that he feels like he should.
Grant, you want to hop in and Yeah.
burn?
No, I got Coop. So I saw another interview you did where you said you were a big fan of Pat Surtain's game. I couldn't agree more because I'm a Broncos fan, so I'm a fan of Pat as well. But I'm curious if there was what in his game do you like the most? Like, what would like fr from like the way he plays? Like, what's something that like you would take and apply to your game?
Yeah, I just feel like, from watching him, how like he's like a bigger guy. He's like 205, like where I'm at. So just watching like how fluid he is in his movements, like, and how physical he is with the guys that he's covering. It seems like he's always using his hands, getting his hands on guys. If he's playing off, it seems like he's pretty fluid in his back pedal, stays in his back pedal for a long time until the guy, breaks his cushion and makes him get out of it. So I'd say just how fluid he is in his movements. I think he's a lot of fun to watch, I
So then, are you pretty excited then to get drafted by the Broncos, of course, and be his teammate now
think.
soon? That's got to be pretty cool, right? What pick do they have, Grant?
12.
Potential.
Hey, I mean,
Potential.
if Coach Payton's calling me at home and he said, "Who are we taking?" I'm picking you, Coop, every time. I might use the second, the se I might use the first and second pick the Broncos have just on you. This is guaranteed. This is why I'm gonna get comments like, you really need to let Grant ask more questions and not speak the whole time because people just hate me. And Grant comes in with these bangers at the end.
But then,
And yeah,
oh, I
one
got
more.
one. Wait, you hinted at it earlier. I don't know if you saw the dunk contest last night, but it's getting a little mild.
I actually didn't see it, so
Okay, I was gonna ask, do you think you could win the dunk contest? Because I think you could.
I didn't see the dunks, but
Because
I
like
don't have much.
in that video, there's some dunks that were more impressive than the ones I saw last night, for sure.
Yeah, I don't have much in my bag of tricks.
Other than like a 40-inch vert. What is your vert, dude?
I think it was at school, I think it was like 41 or 42, something like that.
That's so stupid.
Oh my God. But yeah.
Crazy.
It'd be fun to
When's the first time you dunked? When's the like 7th grade, 8th grade, first time you ever dunked?
It was the summer going into my freshman year, actually, high
Okay.
school.
That is insane, dude. Oh my God.
Good for
I'll do
you.
anything. I'd do anything to touch the rim, man.
My younger brother, my youngest brother,
Tall
who's
guy.
he's 6'5", right? 6'4", 6'5" right now.
Yeah.
He could dunk in 8th grade.
Okay.
So he
Well,
got me beat
that's
on that one.
good for him.
Yes. Yeah.
Fun. That's fun. Must be nice. Must be nice. Have those Cooper DeJean bounce genetics. Dude, thank you so much for coming on. We like I don't know. We're far enough out of the program now where I'm like, I'll reach out to these guys. Don't know if they're gonna hit us back, but I know the fans would love to hear from them. I know that as far as the Iowa ecosystem goes, I don't know if anybody's ever gotten an hour plus worth of Cooper DeJean. So I hope people enjoy this one. And I know this, all of black and gold, as we continue to be Hawkeye fans and our focus is on Iowa City, we will be thoroughly invested in your career in the NFL, man. We're super excited to go see you ball out.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Cooper DeJean, everybody. Not sure what episode this ended up being, but it was a good one. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.